Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I love baseball. Hi, everybody. Welcome
Mr.
to The Mike
President,
O'Mara Show.
I thought sure you would say that you loved Little League.
I love Little League. That's better, Rob.
Why you write for me occasionally?
I love Little League. Love women. Love Little League. I don't know why.
That's so gross.
I am obsessed with that, but I am. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mike. Welcome
to the Wednesday edition of the Mike O'Mara Show.
How do you feel about the Mike O'Mara Show?
I love Mike. I love Mike. Welcome to the show.
Did you ever shower with Mike?
Oh, my God. That's why all the other disc jockeys that showered with him said, oh, my God, look at how big he is.
I got to say it.
Wow.
Welcome to the show. I'm going to lay this out there to all the listeners. I'm going to be a little goofy today.
That's good news.
I'm working on modified sleep. I was super wound up going to sleep last night. And, hey, thank you to the folks that are purchasing our mugs. I didn't bring it in. Carla's going to yell at me. I didn't bring in the mug today, but, you know.
Because they sold
you
your mug, Mike.
You respond. There, Josh has it again.
There Always he is. Have it. Right
limited supply of those. Wanted to let you know that. So, I love coffee. So if you,
you
want
like
a great
liquids?
Coffee mug.
Because liquids go in that cup.
I love fluids. Coca-Cola. Diet Coke.
What about Coke Light?
Coke Light, not so good. They're murderers. They're rapists. They drink the Coke Light.
Coke Light, wow. Didn't know that.
Oh, God. Let me see if I can focus.
Mr. President, did you like the show,
God,
Alice?
Rob, can I get going, please?
There'll be plenty of room, Robbie. I love Robbie. I love Robbie.
We'll talk about Alice later.
Yeah, you will get to the angel of death later in the show. All right. I have been a lover of sport my entire life. I was raised on it, and I have experienced many, many different sports moments in my life, both as a spectator.
And as a specter.
And as a participant.
No, and as a participant.
Sure.
Some of the absolute gut-wrenching defeats for my teams that I rooted for between the New York Giants and the Boston Red Sox just tear you up. I've also been involved in my own golf events where I have won and I have lost, and that is nerve-wracking because you have to function. And one of the great moments was hitting a green in one of the tournaments I played where we needed to hit the green, and it was a lot of pressure, and there are people on the hill watching you and that type of stuff. And I've had that happen a couple of times, and that's a lot of pressure, and it's fun if you like that kind of thing. If you like that kind of pressure, you enjoy it. But I'm here to tell you that I have never in my lifetime ever remotely experienced the heart-palpitating tension of experiencing what I experienced last night.
Coaching's fun. It's different.
It's different when your kid's involved, Josh,
and
you're going to love this. So I go to Mexico, and my son still played in the game Friday night, a game that he had Friday night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a travel league. And you had to take the entire
are you okay?
team
Is
to
he
Mexico.
Okay with his connectivity, Josh? Just double checking on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, seems fine to
okay.
me. I
that might
seen
be
any
me.
Issues.
That might be me. Rob
did you,
just
did
dropped
you bring
out
back
for
a
me.
Pitcher while you were in Mexico?
I did not, and but it seems to be a running theme in today's show that we've got a Mexican pitcher. All right, so he pitched, and I didn't get a chance to see my son pitch on Friday night. First time. He's dabbled at it.
Right.
And he's thought about it. And then he did it. And one of the first things I said to one of my assistant coaches was, how did he do Friday? How did my son do when he pitched Friday? He said, and being the non-contrarian assistant coach that he is, didn't he tell you? And I'm like, yes, he told me.
Right.
And then I have the Lieutenant Dan voice. Yes, he told me, but I'd like to get your perspective on it. So he said, you did great. And great is a pretty strong word coming from this guy. So I filed that in back of my mind. So we get to the game.
I think it is best that he got his first game under his belt without you there.
Really?
I've seen so many kids do great when their parents aren't there and then struggle once the parents are on the fence.
Well, my parents were never there, and I never did great.
You never participate.
Mike, I'm talking about anything. Doesn't
theater
have to be
arts, they wouldn't come and support you in your plays, your little plays that you would do.
A lot of times they'd send
notice how I said little. Right. Remember when Don used to do that to us? Anything we had was a little of this.
Yeah.
How's your little restaurant?
For the theater,
anyway.
You can just imagine them in those back shadows.
Yes, okay.
You can't see the audience.
Now, my parents were very supportive. I was only kidding.
Yeah, they'd come to a show.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. And if I was in a sporting event of any sort, my dad would be out of his mind. But it never happened.
Not yet.
So getting back to this game, last night we're playing a game, 6 o'clock Eastern time. We're out here. And I start this kid on the mound that is a really talented athlete. He's one of the bigger kids. He throws the strikes. He's, you know, he can be wild like they all can at that age. Mm-hmm. But and I'm kind of telling this story to Josh because he knows the ropes as far as baseball managing. I'm new to it in this incarnation. I did it way, way back. Back before I had kids, I did it. I wanted to see what it was like. And I was
but
like,
now we use gloves.
Yeah. I use gloves, not rocks. And human heads, shrunken heads.
And Mike, when you coached before you had kids, it was just to meet the youngsters, right? To give back a little bit.
No, I was thinking that it would be a community.
You love Little League.
I love Little League. I love women. I love me.
Welcome to 1983, everybody. I'm Mike O'Mara, your unattached coach. And
I don't know why I did it. I think I did it because I thought it would be a cool way to give back and promote me as a community-minded person. That's really what I was thinking
not
at the
anything
time.
Anything about single moms?
No, not about. Can you possibly give me any other horrible ulterior motives for
managing? Just to be single.
In a way, Mike, I'm clearing you because these are all things you didn't do it for.
It probably wouldn't have been acceptable. Yes, it would. I don't care. Let me get back to this.
Of course.
So I start the kid that I started the first game. This is our third game of the year.
Okay.
And it chugs along. There are a few walks and a few errors and a few hits. And it seems to me that usually if there's going to be hitting and walking, you're going to give up a few runs. And we give up a few runs. And I think in the first inning we gave up 3 runs. And then we clawed our way back, and then we started doing a lot better. And we started really running up the score a little bit. I bring in after
do you have
this
any
kid,
theory? I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you have any theory
no,
what
you're not.
Turned it?
You're never sorry to interrupt. What is it? What?
Do you have any theory what turned it? Why you started playing better? Was there a moment?
It was a tough first inning, and then we just started playing better. Their pitchers had some moments where they weren't pitching all that well.
I think what Rob wants is for you to share the speech you gave to the guys that turned the game around.
That's what I'd love.
Non-existent. Non-existent.
Really?
Other than, no, I yell out there and I go, focus. Get if, they're 11 and 12, and 11 and 12-year-olds still have trouble focusing. So it's just, you know, come on, let's go. Pay attention to the sign for stealing and all that wonderful stuff. And they have pitch counts. The way we do it, you got a 40-pitch count. That and somebody's got to keep track of that pitch count because then the kid comes out. And so I put my first kid in for 2 innings, and then I put my second pitcher, Dez, I put him in for 3 innings because he had really good innings and really low pitch count in those innings, which is really, really good. So going to the third inning, though, you know, 40 is a pretty limited for three innings. That's a small amount of pitches.
Yeah.
And he's getting up there. And in the background, he's got 36, and I'm hearing the assistant coach, 37, and he walks the first batter. It is 9-3, and this is in the last inning.
This is, and you're leading.
I don't know what came over me. I had I knew that my son, I remembered what he said, that the two pitchers, I had seen both of them pitch, and I knew they could pitch, and then I'm going on faith that they said Michael pitched,
right,
my son who was playing first base, and I walk out there because I know this kid was at his limit of pitches. I said, Michael, oh, come on in. You're pitching. And essentially what I did was I saddled my son, my child, with one man on, a five-run lead, and which, by the way, is in no means insurmountable in this league.
I thought it was six.
A six-run lead. A six-run lead. Thank you, Rob. And it was essentially bringing him in to close. Now, before the last inning, I said to Michael, I said, would you be willing to close? And he said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love that reaction, and it sort of speaks to his guts and his character that he gets from his mother, and I'm proud of him. And so he comes in. Josh, I am telling you, I have been through Red Sox World Series. I have been through golf tournaments. I have been through watching Giants games. I have been through all of these. I've been in front of thousands of people on a stage, in a, you know, 10,500 people at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. I've done live shows in front of thousands of people. I've done live shows in front of hundreds of people. It's just the idea suddenly of my little man facing that pressure was it just amazing. And my son wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he comes into pitch with a man on, and then the games start. We have walks, we have errors, we have hits, and we get an out. Those are two outs. And then they keep chipping away. And by the time the batter comes to the plate, there is a man on third, I think a man on first. They have brought in five runs. There was a moment where the kid stole third, and our catcher zinged it down to third base, and he missed it by that much, the tag that comes in there. There was a ground ball to first base where our first baseman picks up the ball and muffs it, and that's an out that we gave them. There is an overthrow. There are multiple stolen bases. To make a long story short, my son is profusely sweating. He is almost on the verge of tears because the pressure is getting to him. He's never experienced this. He has never pitched, and he hasn't played Little League for 4 years. So he was a little bitty the last time he played it. At one point, he said, Dad, and he looks at me, and I said, what do you want? I said, time out, and I come out there. He said, Dad, I don't think I can do this. And my heart is just, God, I'm out of my mind. And I'm saying, Michael, you can do this. You can do this. And it at this point is 9-8. They have scored five runs. There are two outs, and there is a man on third. And I am here to tell you that my son struck out the last batter he faced to win the game for the Navy Blue Team.
Awesome.
Have to this day, I believe I've got the chest, and my chest was so tight. He was he was emotional. He's an emotional kid to start with, but I've never experienced that. If you think worrying about a team you root for is pressure or worrying about your own performance, no. 10 times worse
when
you're rooting for your kid.
All the other stuff you mentioned is, you know, working under pressure is stuff that you did. You put yourself in those situations. You
right.
put your son in this situation.
If he had lost, I would have been, there would have been so many different emotions. I would have been distraught over the fact that they lost. I would have been distraught over the fact that, you know, the parents and the other coaches might say, oh, he brought his kid in.
Right.
I would have been distraught mostly for the fact that I put him in that situation to go through that. And if he hadn't gotten the last out, it would have been a pretty difficult thing to get out of your head, although it's sports. And as I told him in the car after the game, Michael, it's sports. You're going to have moments like that. You're going to have moments where it's a disaster. You're going to have that. If you're going to play sports, that's part of the equation. So, Josh, I don't know if you've ever experienced anything close to this. It was gut-wrenching. I didn't love it. I did not love it at all.
Well, I know, Mr. President, you don't like losses.
I don't like to lose.
I have found that versus playing myself in a lot of sports, when I can get the emotions of the kids and get the kids involved and have a big win with the Little League kids, it's way more exciting and fulfilling
than winning
a game that I play myself.
And to have like my little man.
You
my
trust
little...
these little kids to go out there and do what you've taught them. So when they can actually do that and get out of the game and get that win, that's a huge thing.
I was just the courage to sit there and look at that little man who doesn't, he has never, ever, ever been in a pressure cooker like he was in. And I think it's awfully young to be in a pressure cooker like it, but it's the real deal. You're playing Little League. Think of those kids that go to the Little League World Series that cry when you see them, you know, because they're having a tough time.
Oh,
and the fact that he delivered was just, my heart always breaks for those kids when they lose. And there was one viral video of a great speech that one of the coaches was giving to his kids after they got eliminated from the Little League World Series. And I love that. And that's really what it's all about. Look, I believe in exposing these kids to pressure and sport. It's part of life. That's what we deal with when we're involved in organized sports. But at the same time, you have to let them know that you got to get right back up and do it. But the fact that we won this game, and it was, I would be not telling the entire story.
Please, Mike.
If I did not mention a moment where perhaps the pressure got to Dad a little more than it should have. And it involves me and the umpire.
What inning is this?
This the same inning?
It was the same inning. And,
okay.
I had noticed that there were a couple of close pitches and that the other team was not getting the same kind of pitches, but that's what you always say, right? It's the nature of the beast, you think. And this is all I said. At one point, my son threw one that looked to be over the plate, chest high, looked like a strike to me. And at that point, I looked down at the umpire and I went, "Really? Really?" And he turned around and what seemed like a 2-minute death stare gave me a 2-minute death stare from the ump. And then our catcher, who is very, very free with his expressions of frustration, he got a little lecture from the umpire as well. But I am telling you, we get in the car after all is said and done. And I look at Carla, and Michael says, "I'm hungry," which he usually says after a game because we've been there since 5 o'clock and he hasn't had any dinner. And Carla says, "I am too." And I look at Carla and I say, "Get me a margarita. Get me to a margarita stat."
That's much better than to the hospital.
Yes. No, don't get me to the hospital. And, well, I'll have an update on that because I had my physical yesterday.
Mike, I'm so glad that your moment with the umpire did not involve you kicking dirt on home plate. I think just
I didn't get out of the chair. I have my little tiny chair that I sit on right outside the dugout. It's a little camp chair.
It's wicker.
It's a little triangle
chair. It has two wheels on it.
No, it does not. And this is the email I send out to the parents. I say, "Great game tonight, everybody. So many contributors. Such an exciting finish. We are back at it Friday again. Have the players ready 5:30, blah, blah, blah. Make sure you tell the boys what a special group I think they are. You don't hold on to win games like tonight without a lot of part. Way to go. And this morning, you want to hear the responses that I got? Because I got some interesting responses
from the
parents. All right. Here it is. Let's play them. Play the responses, please. Mm. I'm a little paranoid because I...
Mike, they're so busy telling the crowds of kids how special you think you are. They are. You didn't have time to reply to it. They're just out there doing your good work. They care desperately.
I know how it goes. Parents only use that chat for one thing. There's clouds in
Scheduling.
The sky. Are we going to have the game tonight?
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
Do you ever get who's bringing the orange wedges?
No, I don't know. I don't even involve myself with that part of things. But it was truly spectacular.
At risk of overthinking it, Mike, I bet that moment on the mound, you know, at the bottom of the ninth with the two outs and you telling him he can
bottom
do
of
it,
the sixth.
Bottom of the sixth.
Yeah, we play 16 games.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
He will remember that moment heretofore.
You know what, Rob? I said that to him. That's a good point because I said that to him as we made our way to one of the finer steakhouses in Southwest Florida.
Roost Chris? The Palm?
No, it's a little closer to my home.
Oh, what's it called?
Those kind of places. The Horn of Long.
Horn of Long Steakhouse. Mm-hmm.
Casual dining at its finest.
They still have the salad bar?
I don't know because I was not eating. I was drinking. And a note to the margarita people, all right?
Who are these people?
The margarita people.
Okay. All right.
Margaritas should be a great drink without requiring any enhancement. All right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't need to put something else in for $3 more
to
make it a real drink, right?
Yes.
And now, listen,
right.
I realize that it's just glorious lemonade that I'm drinking, but at the same time, when I have to constantly ask for a floater on top or a kicker, as they call it, how about just make a decent drink? For a grown-up, how about make a decent drink that'll give you that'll stop your heart, that will stop your heart from palpitating.
Are you a little spoiled and sensitive because you just came back from Mexico?
Yes, I am spoiled and but even
they have better slurping machines in Mexico, Josh. That's why the margaritas are so good.
Well, there's more alcohol in there from what
I had two margaritas with kickers last night before we left and I drank them fast. And that's why I might
fast enough to give you a headache, like a slurpy headache or
no, because
fast.
It wasn't a frozen margarita, it was
just a regular margarita.
Well, it was their best one at the Longhorn.
Was it called the new one for Michael? It was called the head coach.
Michael had three. Michael had three. I got him three. No, he had a.
That's a
he
great
had
reward.
He had a lemonade. You want to ask me why he had lemonade, Rob?
Yeah, why did he have the lemonade?
Because he loves lemonade. He loves it. He loves lemonade.
You had to say that, Mr. President?
Yes, I did. I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess. I am a hot mess coming into today. Because
but
it just was so.
It's a positive so, mess. It's a positive mess.
But it is emotionally exhausting in the best possible way, and it made me realize I love it. I love doing it, and now I know why Josh was addicted to it.
I love coaching. I love coaching.
No, and it was something, you know, like I don't have, I'm fine doing it. I like doing it. It just was surprisingly gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have forgiven myself if I put my son, you know, you're giving your kid an opportunity to fail and it could affect him
traumatically.
Mike,
it wouldn't have been you that had to forgive you. It would have been him for putting him into that situation after asking to be taken out.
Right.
And you would have And it would have just turned into a different post-game conversation talking about how there's another game in 3 days.
Yeah,
so he has
another
chance to do it.
This is true. But, and Josh, you can relate to this, the pressure of it being the first time. The first time ever, pitching in that situation.
I've removed crying pitchers.
You have?
Yes, I have. I've also...
Like Jim Palmer?
Right. I've also took the turf down to the dirt, pacing, debating whether or not to pull a pitcher.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah, because you go back and forth and you do that. Oh, what a night. What an I never imagined because you know what? Now that I've had one game under my belt, I don't fret the starting lineups because I know when the kids get there, I'll put it together based on who shows up and who doesn't show up. And then so I really didn't worry about that part. I was kind of chill and then kaboom. Because in my mind, one of our pitching assistant managers had mentioned that Michael pitched well. And I said, well, there he is at first. It'll be a good swap. Swap out one pitcher for the other. Send the pitcher over to first. Send Michael. Oh,
did it occur to you that right after you made that switch that there was an error at first base when your son wasn't there?
No, because that kid's a stud. So okay. I don't worry. I don't worry about him at all. It was a fluky play. Listen, they're feeling it. It's not just my kid on the mound that's feeling it. They're coming on strong, and this is the best team that is in our league. And it qualifies as kind of an upset. But we're the leaders now. We're 3-0, and it's pretty special.
Your coaching skill, Mike, is not. It's not unique. You know, the White Sox are the same way. They wait and see who shows up before they do the lineup.
Who shows up for the game. It was great. And then I just thought about the margarita when I woke up this morning, because I said, why do I have to doctor
that's healthy
my margarita, you know, to come on down. I am not the type of person.
You're like the guy that puts vodka in a hard lemonade. You just need more. You need
I have used
yes?
Trulies as the soda for a like vodka tonic.
Sure. I think we all have. That. I mean, we've all experienced. You want more faster. That's what you want.
That's what I wanted.
And so, it doesn't, just because you did that doesn't mean you have a problem.
Yeah.
I love margaritas, especially with women.
No, I think we've all tried experimental mixes, and you're right. You know what? A drink should be a drink. You didn't ask for when Humphrey Bogart got a whiskey, he didn't ask for a floater in it. We've gone a long. We've come a long way.
Drink should be a drink. That's my philosophy.
Here.
Our margaritas are real drinks. That would be a great slogan for a joint to get lots of alcoholics to come into the joint. Our margaritas are real drinks.
Our $2 margaritas are real drinks. That's
because as Rob will testify, Josh, I mean, you are essentially mixing tequila with lemonade.
Yeah.
And lemonade masks the flavor of alcohol. So you can put a real shot of booze in there instead of the mixture of stuff. Speaking of have either one of you or are you planning to do early voting? I was curious about that with the election.
I early voted for the last presidential election, but it's an easy walking distance to my polling place. So I'll probably vote on site. I like voting on voting day, but I have really voted before.
A neighbor posted that yesterday it was an hour and a half wait. So that deters me. But I think I'm going to go Friday morning first thing when they open.
Really? Okay. Yeah. An hour and a half wait. That's interesting.
Because remember, for early voting, there's not as many poll locations. There's not as many devices in there to vote. So, yeah, it's a longer wait right
now. You know what?
You know where I like to vote?
Where?
I love the rec center.
How about the library? Mike, I went to the library.
I love the library. No, I really don't.
I should correct myself. The last time I early voted, it wasn't in a polling situation. It was a mail-in vote. So does that count as early voting if you don't go to a polling
No, that's
location?
Called mail-in voting.
Okay. It's mail-in voting. Right?
Yeah. So my early vote location is at the Golf Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, go How see the cool Arnold Palmer that? Exhibit.
No. Well, please, as Gary Player says, please come.
I don't think it's that cool because I think they've moved everything out and it's just an empty building now. I don't think
because
the Hall of Fame's there
they're
anymore.
Moving the location, right?
They're moving the location, yes.
But that's kind of cool still. Isn't it the World Golf Village or something like that?
That's where I live. I live in World Golf Village.
Do you really?
I do.
And you're not a golfer?
Not very little. I need someone to take me.
Okay, I hope you find somebody. Anyway, I think
I
it's
don't.
Why? But that's terrible. Why are you saying that?
Because Mike, what you said was basically, I won't do it.
Well, he's a little far away.
You know what? But God, he's a friend. You came to him once. He needed you. You came to him.
He came to me as a business associate.
Mike, don't you think that golf is a business of its own? Should you not drive to him?
It's not a business for me, you know?
It could be if you tried a little harder.
No, no. Like if I was doing – I've seen the ones where people go around and travel to courses and do those type of things. I always entertain ideas like that. My latest is I would love to be one of the slot machine people. I really would. I really would. When I read about them and how they get money and how they –
That's a game of skill.
I just love it. But I couldn't do it every day. There's absolutely no way I could.
What if you
it wouldn't be fun anymore.
What if you were a traveling golf guy, Mike? That
hold on a second. What were you going to say, Josh?
Well, the slot machine people reminds me. I think it's just an older generation version of the guys that just play Fortnite on the internet.
Could
it's,
be.
It's the video
there's an addictive
streamers.
Property to it. You're absolutely right. There's an addiction to it. And but some of these people have ridiculous amounts of subscribers and views. You know, and it's based on their amount of play.
Mike, what if you invented your own thing where you are a traveling golf guy, but you also did jokes and you would do like an entertaining golf presentation?
That's been taken.
Who does that?
Have you seen the guys that sit behind the tee and mock people? You've seen that, haven't you? Where they're just putting people down. You know, and they'll say like, oh, here he is, Mr. Cocktail Man. You know, that type, and they just
We should absolutely, Mike, we should do that. You and mm-hmm. I should do that. We
right.
could do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many people doing so much stuff out there. Mm-hmm. That's the world now. That's the world. You have to do something to distinguish yourself.
I bet no one has combined slots and golf and put the slot machine on the back of the golf cart.
That would be something.
Right. Yeah, and do it for do a spin for placement, and your spin dictates how far up you get to start. I don't know. So getting back to the whole thing. I am so excited. I am so very, very excited for my son. And after it was all over, as we were sitting there and I was gently nursing my Marga and Michael was enjoying his tiny piece of Longhorn Steakhouse horse sirloin that they served there.
And Mike, when you say Marga, you should tell people what it stands for. It stands for Make America Really Great Again.
What's the one I saw yesterday? Okay. To something about truth, really, I don't remember. It was a bumper sticker, I said. Bothers some people or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, because, and then it's spelled Trump.
Truth, blank.
Really
truth,
upsets
truth
most
really
people?
Really upsets most people.
Yay, see? That was a winner.
Trump.
We got that.
Yeah, and they're starting to pop out here. Starting to see the roadside stands a couple of times. You know, this is a red county that I live in down here. So a lot
of
it's
going
on.
Do you love stickers, Mr. President?
I love hats and I love stickers.
I have to say that yesterday it was a bit.
There's your bumper sticker.
Truth really upsets most people. There it is.
Ah, there it is.
That's from Josh's personal.
Yeah, that's ran out to my car.
I'm glad we got a shot of your tattoo, Josh.
Yeah. Yesterday was Medicare Wellness Check Day.
That's a great day. It falls on the third Wednesday of every month, doesn't it?
A week ago, before I went, I had to get my urinalysis and my blood work. Mm-hmm. And this is I come today bearing good news, people. There
What's
was
that?
There was a word used by the nurse practitioner who I saw for my wellness check mm-hmm. that was used to describe my test results. And that word was perfect.
Wow.
I don't want to throw in another commercial here, but since I've been on that stuff,
mm-hmm.
That's the second go-round I've had where I've gotten that review. And I'm very, very excited about that as well. So that was off my mind. But I'll tell you, late in the game, when I had my son on that pitching mound, I thought maybe the big one was coming.
Yeah,
I thought it might be the big one. That it's amazing. You know, anybody who's ever doubted stress manifests itself physically, you know, hasn't gone through that. It's the tightness. Yep. It's the, you know, the borderline nausea that you go through. So it was a very, very exhausting day in its own right. Although the physical was fine. I mean, it was there. They put a little EKG on me. I didn't get Einen finger, but I am going to a urologist where I'm pretty sure the finger will be part of that. Because if I have any issues health wise, it might be with my good friend Flo. That might be it. But the prostate is looking good. The prostate test, blood test was looking good.
I remember it was 2 or 3 years ago after you had your wellness check, and you said to the doctor, "How do I stand?" He said, "That's what puzzles me."
Bada bing. On that note, ladies and gentlemen.
I love to bring up Mike. I love to bring up the oldies.
Hey, love one, ladies.
We'll take a break. And we'll come back with the round table. Lots going on in the world. Really nothing going on. So these
Everything
stories,
happens, Mike.
No, imagine these stories as being something that, you know, it's interesting, but it's not like earth shattering.
I love news. I love the news. News is so much fun. Hey.
It's time to make your UK visa digital. If you have a BRP card that expires on the 31st of December 2024 or a stamp or vignette sticker in your passport, you should change to an e-visa now. This means it will never be lost and can be accessed online at any time to prove your right to live, work or study in the UK. It's free and your immigration status won't be affected. Find out more now at gov.uk/e-visa.
You know what I really do love? I love Liquid IV.
Yes.
There's so much to love. I'm drinking it right now and got me through the Mike O'Mara Show website. The packets of peach. That's what I like to call it. Hey.
That's so good.
Hey, Peter, my packets of peach are coming.
It's Pierre.
Peter, my packets of peach are coming. There's so much to love about October. Make sure you are at your best with Liquid IV's new Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support Mango Passion Fruit. With 5 times the daily value of vitamin C and 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, you can give your body the immune support it needs while treating yourself to a taste of the tropics. Would you like to know how Gary Busey would say the opening of that? All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Liquid IV's new Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support Mango Passion Fruit. There you go.
And then he would say something about butter sausage.
Aloha! Mele kalikimaka, your hydration's here to drink yourself to health. This Hydration Multiplier and Immune Support, I told you it'd be a goofy show, is scientifically formulated to support a healthy immune system with 5 times the daily value of vitamin C in every serving to give your body all-in-one hydration and immune support for everyday wellness, vitality, and rehydration. Look, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear poor, live more. Liquid IV, 1 stick, 16 ounces of water, helps you hydrate better than water alone. Support everyday wellness with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com. Say Liquid IV again. And use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
All righty.
Hey,
oops, that's the wrong button. That's better.
You were looking away at the crucial time.
I was.
You were looking at something else. What were you looking at the crucial moment?
I got a text, is all. It's from it's very
focus.
Important.
Focus on the show.
Please.
Focus.
Like an 11-year-old, I sometimes don't focus.
First, Olivia Rodrigo wiped out on stage.
Yes.
Now it's Billie Eilish's turn to take a tumble. During a show at Madison Square Garden last week, Billie took a tumble while she was going down some stairs. She shook it off, and the show went on, but she reposted a fan's video of the fall on her Instagram stories. Now, I did not see this video. I didn't get a chance to see the fall that she had, but she showed off a pretty gnarly bruise on her leg. These shows now, where they come from the sky, they come from the underneath the stage, they have elevators, they have little tubes that they race
monkeys,
down.
Monkeys, animals, everything.
Just dogs and cats living together. Pretty stunning stuff. But I'm a fan of Billie
Eilish.
She
was so good. She was the best thing on Saturday Night Live this weekend. Her both of performances were so good.
She's in the middle
good.
Of a tour right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, she's excellent. I love her work. And the new song is not even Billie Eilish-y. It's actually, it sounds more like a pop record. I love it. She's so talented. Yeah.
Well, be careful.
Would you
out
like
there.
To see the fall?
Yeah, yes. Let's take a look at Billie Eilish taking the tumble. I should have given that to you in the first place, Josh. My apologies. That's all.
So she's going down some stairs.
Right.
Yeah, it's that hole in the stage.
Whoops.
Oh, there she goes.
Yeah.
Stairs, looking at crowds, low lighting. You know, it's nice to see seniors aren't the only people who can fall. Right.
I think she cleared the stairs, but seemed to think there were more
someone
stairs.
Someone played a nasty prank on Cardi B. This is a nasty prank.
Mm.
They called Child Protective Services and told him that her three children are being abused. That is as low rent and scummy as you can do. Calling that a prank is wrong. That is horrible. They came to her house with the cops Monday night at 11 p.m. Cardi is understandably livid. She went on Instagram Live from a hospital bed to tell whoever did this that they're toast. She's been in the hospital since Saturday, but she didn't say why. Maybe a little work done, maybe.
Could be.
A little plastico. Mm-hmm. She said, quote, "Are you effing dumb? You effing a-holes think that that crap is funny and it's not funny?" Then there was this. Cardi took it to the extreme.
Well, she was
y'all are going to die.
Oh, well, we all are, aren't we?
I'm going to beat the crap out of you. If you're a man, my baby father is going to beat the crap out of you because you thought it was okay to mess with our effing kids. Stop effing playing. She added, quote, "My kids live great. My kids have never been touched, never gotten hit, no matter how annoying they are."
Wow.
"I never hit my kids." Cardi says she's going to sue CPS, Child Protective Services, and hire a private investigator to find out who made the call. So,
well, she can't sue CPS because I think they're required anytime even an allegation is made, they have to show up.
So it's like any kind of domestic situation.
Yeah,
and I also think I've heard that even if it proves to be unsubstantiated, it stays on your record that a call was made about you.
Yeah.
So it puts her in a bad situation. That is low. It doesn't get much worse.
It is low. How many times did you call the cops when Carrie hit you?
Oh, every time.
Every single time. And then you let them go. It wasted their time. They were angry at you.
But we got on a first name basis, which was nice. Yeah. And sometimes we still have them over for Thanksgiving, the cops.
And just to recreate the moments, Rob never wears a shirt when they come over.
No, I don't. I take them
off. Bad boys. All right, here we go. They just won't go away. Will never go away. Ever. Who? Ever. Ever. Back in 2019, HGTV did a show called A Very Brady Renovation.
Oh, no.
Where they fixed up the original Brady Bunch house.
Yes.
Well, it was such a success that CBS was interested in a revival. They worked on it for a year, and all the original siblings had a hand in recreating their characters. But then Cindy's politics got in the way. Susan Olsen, who played the youngest Brady kid,
Cindy.
She's a libertarian and a Trump supporter in real life, so she wanted her character to be that way on the show. Oh, God. Okay. She wanted to model it on the Roseanne revival, featuring, quote, "a family with completely different political opinions, and in the end, they all love and respect each other." Yeah. Unfortunately, CBS discovered that Cindy got fired from a radio gig in 2016 for saying some things that were perceived as homophobic. That's a surprise. They asked her to
Let's see how many, Mike, how many Brady Bunch projects can I think of off the top of my head since this one show that didn't run that long, okay?
Right.
There was the Brady Bunch. Then there was the Brady Bunch variety show with the fake Jan. Then there was the Brady Brides. Then there was a Brady Bunch Christmas movie, a made-for-TV movie. Then there was a serious Brady Bunch, like a 30-something, that had all the cast in it. And now there, and then, of course, there's all of these revival movies that happen, and now they're trying to do another show. This show
after the Brady Bunch renovation house.
Oh, I forgot about the Brady Bunch renovation. This is 50 years of this you know what? And I like it okay, but it really is just a medium idea. It's
well,
not
Cindy
a great
Brady,
idea.
Very outspoken, and they asked her to take a course on political correctness, which she did.
Oh,
but they came up with 50 pages worth of other stuff on her that they found objectionable. So the whole thing ended up being scrapped because of her.
Wow. If you want to find something objectionable, listen to the Peter and Greg podcast, where they dissect different episodes of the show. That's disappointing.
What kind of idiot would listen to that?
Well, certainly not more than 10 or 12 episodes before he gave up on it.
Susan says, quote,
Susan.
I'm like, wow, I've been canceled. That's, of course, Susan Olson.
Yeah.
A role that I've played for over 50 years. I can't play it now because I'm too dangerous. Well, no, you're just a bigot. You're just a bigot, Susan.
You couldn't play it that good in the first place.
And by the way, yeah, and she was terrible, even
horrible,
as a child actor.
Worst character on the show.
But they've done other show revivals with characters missing. So they could have written Cindy's death or something into the script where she's not there.
Yeah. Many of those projects were done with Alice missing, and Rob will now do a small pantomime to show you why Alice was missing.
Dead.
X on the eyes.
She dead.
X on the eyes.
She was, you know what? If you go back and review the episodes, and Mike, I know after doing this news story you're going to.
Of course I will.
Alice is the best part of the show.
Absolutely.
She really is, because she knew how to do a joke. Oh, and also Marsha was hot.
Marsha was hot. By the way, Susan says she stands by everything she said that caused CBS to cancel it.
Great. Good for the way to handle it.
That's called doubling down. Who came up with that?
Should have just went without her.
Doubling down.
Cindy was in prison.
That's right. Cindy was in prison. And then what happened in real life is that Bobby, Mike Lookinland, mailed her a box of feces.
Are you guys hearing me okay? Because I want to make sure, because it's a little tough down here with the hurricane. We're still getting power surges. Just wanted to double check.
I can hear you good.
All right?
I can hear you good.
That's good. Good. Good to hear.
Or well, I should.
Are you planning a Halloween costume that might be seen as offensive? Seems to be the theme of today's show. Someone polled over 1,000 Americans and asked if various things are still acceptable in 2024. Here are the results. Can a woman dress as a man? Well, I think when you eliminate drag from Halloween, you're ruining Halloween.
I agree.
I've been Barbara Bush. Rob has been Amy Winehouse. You just can't take that away.
No, you got to keep it.
And I'm going to Cindy Brady.
Cindy Brady, very good.
Actually, Josh is going to Cindy Brady and in blackface. Is that offensive?
There, you might have a problem with that one. By the way, the majority of people say a woman dressing in a man as a man and vice versa. Fine. Absolutely
good.
Okay.
Good.
Can a non-Native American dress as a Native American? Over half, just a little bit, 52% say it's okay. 30% said definitely not. What say you?
It depends how, if you take it to a ridiculous level. Like, I don't know. I think that if it's a respectful depiction, it should be fine.
Can a child dress up in a cultural costume if they're not part of that culture?
Like a Jewish kid as Santa Claus?
Or is this... No, I think this is more... A few years ago, the issue was, can a white kid be Black Panther for Halloween?
62% said yes.
I would think so, in that if we're using the Black Panther example, then yes.
Can your costume include a realistic-looking gun or other weapon?
Yes, absolutely, it should.
34% said yes. 50% said no.
Don't forget that Josh Schroka will be dressed as Cindy Brady in blackface with an assault rifle.
Can white people wear blackface makeup if they're dressed? No.
No.
Absolutely not. And 33% still think it's okay in 2024. That's a little weird, isn't it? Yeah. Let's see.
They all love Al Jolson.
And then, of course, another 15% aren't sure. Those are our favorite people.
That's our listenership right there. That's everybody.
American Airlines. I flew United for my big trip, but American Airlines is testing something based on my flying this past weekend that I like. It is a system that will flag when people attempt to board before their group has been called. A men.
Here, yeah.
Make it computer generated. There will be an audible alert when they scan their boarding pass, and the agent will tell the passenger to please step aside. Step aside over there.
Well, they'll have to use what I use when I get caught. I say, but I have special needs.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't work either. They say the purpose is to ensure customers receive the benefits of priority boarding and help to improve the boarding experience. Also, it's to shame the line jumpers. So far, American Airlines said they've been pleased with the test. Travelers seem to like it. What's that?
I'm all for shame. Shame. Yeah, shaming.
I think shame is very effective, actually.
Shame, shame. One person on social media said, I saw this in action yesterday. It was great. Saw about five people get pointed out of line, punted out of line for trying to board before their group was called. Yeah, I mean, they have it. It's to efficiently board the airplane. So don't cheat, okay? Ass, don't do that. Finally, divorce attorneys at divorcelawyers.ca gathered data from the 2023 U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey to determine which states had the highest number of divorces per capita.
Ah.
And there were some shocking findings. While many might believe that highly populated liberal states might have the highest divorce rates, rural states are actually where more married couples appear to be calling it quits. Alaska was the state with the highest number of divorces per capita in 2023, according to the data, with a combined divorce rate of 10, meaning that 10 out of every 1,000 people in the state got a divorce. 10.
10.
Meanwhile, Wyoming came in second place with a divorce rate of 9.75 per 1,000. You know, been through Wyoming. Both the fancy, richy-rich part of Wyoming and then the real rural western side of Wyoming. Doesn't seem like a particularly happy joint. Really.
Yeah,
doesn't really seem crazy happy.
I'm with you on that.
Well, and these states feel like it might be one member of the marriage just wants to leave the state.
Yeah, just get out of there. That's what it is. Nevada wasn't far behind, 9.3 out of every 1,000 residents getting a divorce. Here are the other ones. North Dakota.
Ah.
Delaware, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Mississippi.
Always
there
Mississippi.
There they are.
Always.
Alabama, Arkansas, and Kentucky rounded out the top 10. Oddly enough, Virginia, Rob, your home state, the divorce rate diminished. Significantly by a tremendous amount of they don't have the specific. They just say a large percentage rate when Mike O'Mara moved out of the state. Thank you.
You know, the reason Carrie and I are still together is that our house has lots of good hiding places.
There you go. Nooks and crannies where you can
she
just
can't
get
find
away.
Me to serve the papers. That's it.
Yeah, and then she can't hit you again, you know, because
must you always bring it up?
Yeah, Carrie's same
she
line
she wouldn't
every
do
time.
It if she didn't love me.
You love to make me hit you. That's it. We got to take a break. We'll come back with a very, very cool moment on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. It's easy to grin when your injections come in and you got obesity beat. So be your best with DermGlowSkin.com. Just one dose a week and you're on your way to losing 21 to 26% of your weight while improving blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure. But what if you don't like needles, hey?
Yeah.
Do you have an injection objection? Well, never fear. Sublingual semaglutide drops are here. You just put them under your tongue and you are off to the races. And if you don't qualify for semaglutides or tirzepatide, they offer weight loss with Somorolin. That's available as an injection or a tablet. Doesn't get any more convenient than that. The products are delivered to your door in 7 to 10 business days, and you can qualify from the comfort of your home. Afterpay coming soon, so it's time to try DermGlow, making the best you that you can be, inside and out. Start your transformation today at DermGlowSkin.com. I'm Mike O'Mara. I'm not saying it again. Bounce a quarter off my ass. You know you want to. Who's your daddy? Ladies and gentlemen.
You're my father. You are my dad.
Rob, you've been mentioning something for the last couple of days. It is a rude fan letter.
Yes, absolutely.
And I am very, very curious about that because you know I love me the negative interactions with people that experience the show. And
I don't know if it's rude as much as it is entitled, but the second letter is what got me.
Okay,
so
let me just say that the show, it always stuns me that there are people dedicated to throwing grenades at this show. I know it's everywhere. And I know everybody that does this, if you have any following whatsoever, you're going to get a little hate. I'm just surprised that I have Facebook pages dedicated to it.
Mike, this isn't so much hate. It's rude. And I think it's also, it comes from a place of misunderstanding.
Okay.
So this counts as a mini mailbag.
Is that why you're playing the mini bag mailbag?
Yeah, this is the mailbag music. And also, you know, it's funny. The song they're playing is The Final Countdown. Do you know how many days there are until we go to Las Vegas?
I think there's 17, right?
1, 2, 3, 4
17 days to go.
17.
We are just 17 days away from the big one.
Well, she was just 17. 17.
Did you hear what the man said?
There are just 17 days.
Going on 17.
It's 17. 17.
It's the final countdown.
Only 17 days to go.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
The final countdown.
In fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, see, I found you.
Thank you.
You
edited it. Oh, bless your heart. You edited that. That's awesome. Hey, buy a ticket to the live show today, and show me the receipt that shows that you bought it today. I will buy you a cup of coffee.
Really?
Seek me out, and I will buy a cup of coffee with you.
Wow, that would be October 23rd.
I will sip coffee with you and buy it. That would be October 23rd. Make a note of that, Rob, that
yes.
I know that if somebody buys a ticket on October 23rd, I'll have a cup of Joe, a steaming cup of Joe with them.
Steaming hot cup of Joe. First thing in the morning, early.
Yes,
early. Meet Mike at 5:30.
Let's not. No, shut up. Don't specify times.
I didn't say AM or PM.
Could be mid-afternoon.
Most likely mid-afternoon. But anyway, yes, the Wheel of Fortune.
Well, you're going to say on East Coast time.
100%. So, that'll be like two.
Two? Two? Mike, this comes from Beth Vinosky. And I don't know if she just doesn't have a great understanding of how the show works or what's a part of the show anymore. But she sent one letter, and I disregarded it because it seemed out of place. And then she followed up. That's where I think she's a little pushy and a little rude. And it reads, Dear Casey. Hey, guys. This is our second time driving across the country with you all entertaining us all the way. That's nice. In fact, we started with the Don and Mike show back in the day. Love the fact that they've been with us this whole time. My husband, Jonathan, turned 58 on October 15th. So that's about 2 weeks ago. He would love to hear one of Mike's witty poems to mark the occasion. I know you have written poetry, but it's not like you... A poet is not like the core of your being. It's not like you come up with poems all the time.
Sure I do.
Well, Mike, she wants to hear one of your witty poems to mark the occasion, and she gives you some...
Well, whose birthday is it?
It's Jonathan. Jonathan Visnosky. He's 58. Here's some things that you need to know about him. Here are some more details if you choose to take on this task. They live in San Diego. They've been on the road since Labor Day. Our objective was to touch all New England states, and they did that, stopping at all the presidential museums along the way, so they like to have fun. They saw family in Virginia, where we are from, and they're now starting back, and this is perhaps the best part. You may want to use this for the poem, and she says this, I quote, "Oh, in New York, we saw Back to the Future musical, if you want to do something with that." Thank you, Beth. So do you have a poem by request for Jonathan Vinosky, who has traveled cross-country, gone to all the presidential museums, and seen Back to the Future on Broadway? And also, am I off base in thinking this is a little entitled?
All right, here we go. This is on the fly.
Right, here's your poem.
Here's to the birthday boy, Josh. I certainly hope
John.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. All right.
Josh, do you think, since we just mentioned your name, do you think this is a pushy request?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Josh.
No, I think it is a pushy request. I think this is the type of thing they want you to throw all. They don't think
Josh wants them to pay because Josh
well,
always wants them to pay.
No, I'm just saying.
Super chat.
So much detail.
Yeah, right. I think that since you're honoring them with a poem, it'd be nice if they bought a mug or two tickets. That's what I think.
And if they buy a ticket today, I'll
cup of coffee.
I'll have coffee. All right.
Yes.
Here's to the birthday boy, John. In my mind, you're always number one. You're in your late 50s. That's kind of nifty. I have to get another. And oh, okay. Here's to the birthday boy, John.
Right.
In my mind, you'll be number one. You're now in your 50s, and that's really nifty, but soon we all know you'll be gone.
Oh, John.
Let's see. John is the birthday boy.
Yes.
And I do not want to be coy. If you ask me why, I'll say, Marty McFly told me.
And you broke the one meter last thing. There. You broke meter just
I know.
A little bit.
I know.
Do you want some
I did this
music?
Poem for you, and you ask why? Because of Marty McFly, another one that you think is number one. One last thing for John, who's 58.
I love birthdays.
Mr. President, don't forget that the letter was written by Beth, and that's his wife,
Beth.
And she's Beth. A lady.
Yes, siree. Push that broom, Beth.
I don't know why I said that.
I'm
just being goofy tired right now. I'm not sure. I had a stressful evening last night.
That's great. I like any engagement with the show, Rob. They want something, that's fine too. You know, we ask every day. We want them to buy
mugs. Buy a lovely mug.
I thought it was pushy. But you know what? You showed me the way, Mike. Beth is a good lady.
Yes, she's good people.
Push that broom, Beth.
And I'm looking at the comments here right now. Let's see. Oh, the worst. They said the worst character on the Brady Bunch was Cousin Oliver.
You know,
I don't remember Cousin Oliver.
He was only
will you enlighten me, please?
Yeah, he was only he was at the very end. He was brought in. Robbie Rist played him. And he was brought in because all the kids were getting too old, so they needed a youngster. But it really signified the end. I think he was only in 3 or 4 episodes. So leave him alone.
I love Cousin Oliver.
Robbie Rist.
I don't know what's going on with me. I'm a broken person. Now listen.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
Oh, no. When you say that, you are broken.
I don't know whether Rob is fibbing me about this, but the biggest thing in our nation's capital since the election is the fact that we have now had a diplomatic exchange with
China.
Panda diplomacy, Mike.
To bring the pandas back. Rob says he has a microphone in the enclosure and they speak.
Yes.
I don't know whether this is true or not.
They're brothers, Mike. And they speak.
They're a band of brothers.
They are a band of brothers. And here's the funny thing is that they are right now in seclusion. Because, you know, you don't know if they're sensitive to diseases in America.
So are they in separate enclosures?
They're together.
Oh, they're together in seclusion.
Yeah.
And are they in a big empty seclusion room with a big echo?
It has echo, yeah, because it's almost empty, right. Except for the bamboo. They Oh, my goodness, do
All
they
right,
love
don't
bamboo.
Don't steal my thunder, okay? Yes, pandas bamboo. Thank you. Let's take a break. God
that
almighty,
doesn't steal
leave
your
it in the
thunder.
Locker room. We'll take a break and we will come back. And we will do something like that. That's what we do on the Michael Barry Show, ladies
Good
and
sell.
Gentlemen. Yes, sir. I love voices.
And pandas.
I love doing voices. Bounce a quarter off of it. Who's your daddy?
There's a bit of a chill in the air. Autumn is here, and with Legacy Box, you can cozy up and watch something special this fall, your family's home movies.
Yes.
Legacy Box, ladies and gentlemen, is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. By going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 55% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. The process, easy peasy. Send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand right here in the USA. You'll get it back on the cloud or thumb drive along with your originals. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media. So whatever it is, they have you covered, ladies and gentlemen. After 10 years in business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer. They've helped over 1 million families relive their wedding days, baby's first steps, even great moments from the skillet toss up in Georgia. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to get an incredible 55% off. Buy today. Send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. Legacybox.com/TMOS, Rob Spiewak.
That's right, Mike. And you know, it's funny. They always say that things are happening at the zoo. Now, we had Ling Ling and Sing Sing for years here in the National Zoo, a part of the Smithsonian. And that was very exciting for a lot of people. Then they lost them. Then more giant pandas came over, and they went away. Well, this very week at the zoo, Mike. Told me it's
all happening. Hey, gents, I hate to break up the party here, but I'm having terrible trouble with connectivity post-Milton. So I'm going to have to do a reboot.
All right.
Is that okay with you fellas?
Something very exciting. And, as promised, something very special as we go live to the zoo, the National Zoo, here in Woodley Park in Washington, D.C., to talk to our favorite new pandas, Bao Lai and King Bao. Now, who am I speaking to now? Is this Bao or Bao, King?
Well, this is Bao Lai.
Hi, Bao. What are you doing?
I'm eating bamboo.
Is that all you do?
Who's this?
Oh, this is Rob Spiewak from the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You must be horribly bored in isolation.
Not at all. I'm climbing trees, swimming, having a great time.
What about...
What's my name again?
I think you're Bao Lee.
Bao Lee! It's great to be over here. I'm no longer in China.
Hey, what's it like over in China?
Oh, eating... Bamboo, sleeping, abandoning my children. I'm so a loner. If a panda has a twin, we abandon one of the twins. It's a cruel animal.
That's not great. You got the reputation of being so cute and cuddly, and according to my one sheet,
I can poop up to 62 pounds a day.
Val, it says here you're male.
I'm on a page with panda facts.
It's
We used to eat meat back in the day.
You don't anymore?
You know, we don't eat meat anymore. When giant predators like saber-toothed tigers were no longer around, pandas didn't need to be as fast and turned into bamboo-eating specialists. What do you think of that?
What if I bought you a delicious...
Do you want to talk to my brother?
It's your sister. King,
I should have thought about that before the bit.
But I'm sure she's fine. I just have one question for you.
You want to talk to my sister?
After I ask one question.
Okay.
If someone bought you a delicious zoo hot dog that contains meat, would you eat it?
I love nitrates. I love nitrates. Bring it on.
All right, let me speak to
King Bao. It'll keep my black and white coat shiny. Who's the one we're talking to now?
We're going to flip it over to King Bao. She's female.
Ching Bao.
Ching Bao.
It's spelled with a Q.
Yeah, but it's a Chinese name, so that means the Q is a Ch.
All right, Ching Bao.
Hey. Huh. I'm Ching Bao.
Hi, Ching.
Hi, little brother. How you doing? Ching Bao, standing by. Boy, what a great pretty girl I am.
Now, I have got a question, Ching.
I'm pregnant.
Oh, are you?
I'm pregnant by my brother.
Oh, no.
My brother impregnated me.
Is that a bad thing in your species? Because that's really
incest
frowned upon.
Is best.
No. That's really frowned upon here.
Taboo.
It is taboo.
We don't want any of those terrible taboos now, do we, little brother?
No, we don't.
Yeah, I'm in heat once a year for only 2 to 3 days each year.
Yeah, like my wife.
Yes. You're past breeding age, though, aren't you?
Well, I had a procedure, yeah. But they would love if you would breed.
I heard you went on a breeding age of 25. Yeah. How's about that? You know, in the wild, female giant pandas will emit special sounds, such as a baa, or a dog bark, or a cow bark.
What is a cow bark?
Now the other one will come calling. Oh, he's coming over here now. Who's coming over here?
That would probably be, what's the other?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Rob, if you don't know the names, how am I supposed to do the bit?
Mike, then we're going to talk to Bao Li. Bao Li.
No, I'm done.
I was going to ask if they had a television.
No, I'm done. I can't do that. It ruined it that they were both male and female. They were male and female. I just didn't think ahead. I thought it would be funny to do the Bridges Brothers as Bowling or Ching Dao or whatever the
I didn't even get a chance to
I
ask
just turned it into a Chinese beer. Don't worry. That's okay. Sometimes they hit, sometimes. Did you know that panda cubs are pink?
I know that at one point when they were really, really at the top of the docket for local news, they kept saying, and the babies are the size of a stick of butter.
Yeah, tiny little pink, tiny. Yeah. They almost look like the lipstick that comes out of a dog. That's my
own. Does it say that on Wikipedia?
That's my own. Giant pandas do not hibernate, though, like regular bears, because their bamboo-based diet prevents them from storing enough fat to sleep through the winter. There's a fact.
I think they're ill-tempered. Aren't they ill-tempered? They have a reputation of being so cute and cuddly.
Nothing here about ill-tempered. Plenty here. They use scent to mark their territory by leaving their scent on a tree bark through urine. It's kind of like dogs do.
By any chance, does it say, can they play baseball?
I don't believe they can.
All right, because I hate these giant pandas. Because the owner of the Orioles put out a tweet teasing a big announcement that he's got coming. And he spent $10 million to bring these pandas over, where all I want him to do is spend $10 million on a baseball player.
Wow. So this is the same guy that brought the pandas over? He put his money into that? Don't you hate that? It's like when John Henry bought the soccer team, Manchester United.
Right.
That was a suck fest, too. They're greedy. They're greedy. They're like tentacles. They want more of these owners. That's what they want. They really do.
What is your owner's name, Josh, of the Orioles?
Dave Rubenstein.
He's put a lot of money into presidential history. He has a book that just came out, right?
Yeah, and he owns a copy of the Magna Carta.
Okay. Oh, well, it's just a copy.
Yeah. It's like, look at me, look at me. By the way, giant pandas, no longer endangered.
Really? So what's the big deal?
Good answer.
I mean, good really? Answer. I mean, if they're no longer endangered, why go see them in the wild?
I saw one. On them.
I got a patch of woods behind my house here in Leesburg, and I saw one giant panda in it because they're everywhere. And so I don't see the beauty of going over there and going. And also, Mike, another thing that drives me crazy is that they are so excited to have them that last week they were the lead story. And, you know, we have an election going on. There's other stuff going on in the world. That was the lead story to say that they've got the pandas in the panda enclosure, which they never tore down, and they're in isolation, and you should be able to see them in early 2025.
The world's oldest giant panda was Xinjing. It's Xinxing.
Okay.
Xinjing. And she was at the Chongqing Zoo and lived till 38 years old and 4 months, from 1982 to 2020. That's the equivalent of 115 human years. And I would like to call the Smithsonian right now and tell them to take this podcast and make sure you put it in this podcast, all right? This incredible connectivity, which has driven me out of my mind today. Hey, you know, I'm a victim of the intranets.
It happens.
Do you think we have checked to make sure these are pandas? China zoos are not trustworthy.
Painted dogs.
Oh, Chinese zoos. It's a dog. It's a big, hairy dog.
And don't forget the 60-foot shark
whale.
Robot.
Yes. The whale.
The whales. That was just that. We'll take a break and, you know, more beautiful video tomorrow from me, ladies and gentlemen. I've tried. I've tried so desperately it hurt me. We'll come back with Rob's beautiful video right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Let me straighten this out now, too. Jesus. Oh, that's great. It's not there. That's how wonderful is that? All right. It'll be here now in just a second. No, it won't.
Mike, it's Legacy Box.
Okay. Legacy
Box. No, it's not.
No, I'm sorry. It's my
Jesus Christ. Will you get with it, please? I'm tired today. I can't be tired when you're tired, for the love
of
God.
Mike, my bookie is so great.
What? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I do know this.
Your connectivity slowed it down.
Yeah,
it made it sound like Legacy Box. Right,
if you go to mybookie.ag and use promo code Mike O'Mara, remember, no spaces, no apostrophe, you will be able to get some of the greatest deals out there. It's their 10th anniversary.
That's wonderful.
Can bet on anything. There are even bets that always pay off. Even if you lose, they pay. So you got to get in. And if you're not a big sports fan like myself, they'll let you do the prop bets. You can do over-unders. It's very easy.
I am going to lay down a bet that the New York Giants will not win another football game this season.
And you will get great odds at MyBookie, Mike. After that, you'll be able to have enough money to buy a copy of the Magna Carta.
Yeah, the copy of the Magna, and you know, import like a Kabuchi monkey or whatever they're called.
You can bet on the election over there.
Yes, very exciting. Very, very exciting. I've got my thoughts on that one, too.
I bet.
Go ahead, Rob. You're doing the spot. I don't have the copy in front of me.
Mike, I bet
on
the
Kabuchi
monkey.
I need you to step up for me. Thank you. Yes.
All right. So remember, you go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code Mike O'Mara. No spot, no spaces, no apostrophe, and get the best betting deals out there. That's for all you bettors, B-E-T-T-O-R-S. And now...
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Mike, I did it again. I killed a major athlete, and I'm sorry.
The idea that when I saw this last night, that Fernando Valenzuela, we lost him at 63, very young. I will tell you that I remember that. I don't even remember the reference to it, but I know you mentioned Fernando Valenzuela.
On yesterday's show, I believe, when you announced that the Dodgers were to play the Yankees and the two big TV markets were going to be happy because they got a team on each side of the World Series. And I asked if the Dodgers would be starting Valenzuela, because goes back to when I was collecting baseball cards. I knew his name.
As we went to taping today, there is no word as to what the cause of. He was in the hospital, but mm-hmm. I don't know what that was all about. I don't know if he had a health history where there were issues, but, you know, once again, it just confirms the fact that you are the angel of death.
And he was a big deal, Mike. Here, let's look back on a little bit of Fernando mania.
Okay.
The relationship between the team and LA's Latino community was fraught. But in Fernando, Mexican-American fans saw a superstar who was one of their own.
I think that Fernando Valenzuela is the best. He's the greatest, and I think everybody here has Fernando fever.
Great pitcher.
It's a legend of Los Angeles baseball that Vin Scully's broadcasts were audible everywhere in the ballpark through a chorus of transistor radios.
I'll love the fastball, still 1-2.
I love the notion that there were so many transistor radios in Dodger Stadium that you could hear Vin Scully wherever you went. That was one of the things that they did in that movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is that if you walked Hollywood Boulevard in the 60s, you would hear 93 KHJ because every car radio was playing it.
And so the thing about Fernando Valenzuela was that he was not really the first, because there was Mickey Lolich, Gaylord Perry, the Knuckleballers, but, you know, he was a schlubby dude, not an athlete's body, and kind of made him the everyman, especially to the Latin community, and thusly, he was wildly popular.
And he had a great game in 1990. He threw a no-hitter, and any excuse to play Vin Scully, because it was set up in the other. Watch this. This is fun.
The Cardinals down 6-0. It's not that McGee wants to steal, but the Dodgers don't want to hold him on. Murray is well off the bag, and so McGee figures, if you're going to give it to me, we'll get it and take it. The strike one pitch to Pedro Guerrero. Swung on and missed. And the crowd now, with more emotion following every pitch.
I didn't remember that he wore glasses.
Pedro, Pedro. as they did in Boston in the 86 World Series to try and taunt Strawberry. And now they're doing it to Guerrero, hoping to distract him, hoping to upset him, hoping perhaps to make him try too hard. Fernando ready in the strike two pitch is hit back to the box, dribbling to second. Samuel on the bag, throws to first, double play. Fernando Valenzuela has pitched a no-hitter at 10:17 in the evening of June the 29th, 1990.
There not only is it a great moment, what a great announcer.
By the way, yeah, you know what? When you're thinking about that, how about a sense of history where he lays out the date, which to me at the end of that blurb, the late Vin Scully, I mean, really fantastic. Did Vin Scully leave us?
Yeah, I think he did, right?
It's just, I mean, to do that, I said, when did he pitch that? And then he does that. And he does that in the moment. I love Vin Scully. Could listen to him the best. A million times.
Halloween, Mike. I went to Costco this week, and it's a confusing time to be at Costco. Because it's Christmas and it's Halloween. And they had like a 75,000-foot skeleton that talked when you walked by. And it was very annoying. And I heard the ladies that were sampling like pudding or something at Costco complaining that they had to hear the skeleton talk the whole time. But we really have come a long way. These are some scary noise Halloween novelties from the 1990s. I'm much more scared of what we have now based on these noises. Does that scare you? No.
We have a capacity for crap in America, not America.
You're right.
God. I want my last 45 minutes back. I really, really do. I'm just going to say, because we're editing this, so you won't hear this unless you're listening to us live right now. But we have had connectivity issues down here in Southwest Florida that have been somewhat nightmarish. So my apologies for my frustration.
Today. Mike, I think you're getting through it just fine. And once everything is together, it's going to be A-OK. And this will cheer you up. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, that wasn't a connectivity issue. That's how bad those toys sound.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay, well, there's
absolutely
that.
Horrible.
Mike, are you still vacationing in Salt Lake City this summer?
I have a fishing camp there that I like to go to. A great trout.
A camp? I didn't realize it was a whole camp. Do you entertain the children?
Salty trout, but great trout.
Mike, the world's best bathroom, the world's best public bathroom is in Salt Lake City. It's at a Maverick. Is the name of the fast...
At first glance, the restrooms in this Maverick might not seem like anything special or grand. But the people have spoken and voted the restrooms at this Maverick on 279 South and 5600 West the best in the country in a competition put on by Cintas Corporation.
Honestly, anytime I have to go to a gas station for whatever reason, especially being an Amazon worker, I have to use like facilities, I always come to Mavericks. And I usually come to this one because it's really clean. Every time I'm here, it's always spotless.
So down the street where I work, right now there's the outhouses, but they're hot, stinky, and I mean covered in whatever have you and stuff wiped off the walls. Yeah. So it is nice to have, just 4 minutes down the road, be able to stop by and have an experience.
Maverick, I'd never heard of
the
Maverick.
The restrooms here competed against others around the country.
There's automatic disqualification Mike, if you find
what was that?
A feces.
What?
There's automatic disqualification in the contest if you find a feces.
You know, the story I loved that is the anchor losing it when he talked about, I think it was a Home Depot, and the guy said, I dropped a bomb in there. Don't go in there.
About
and then
to
they,
blow
called,
it up.
They called in a bomb scare, and the anchor lost it. I love that. But as someone who was amazingly persnickety about public restrooms, I hate them. And if I have to use them, I would drive to a department store where I knew it was low travel. And then conversely, I have had to go badly. And I will drive a half an hour, 40 minutes further on down the road if it's disgusting, because I cannot go in there and use it. I can't, especially if it's number two.
We have tape of Mike the last time he was in a public restroom. This is at south of the border. In South Carolina. Here we go. It's Mike.
Okay. Yeah, I knew you were going there. I knew.
But that's not my closer, Mike. That's okay. Not my closer.
That's what, so, I can't wait for that.
So sad. This is sad. Yes. That a drunk driver drove into a cemetery, thus desecrating the final resting place of many people.
Tales tonight, Omaha police investigating a crash into a cemetery. One officer snapping this picture at Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. Sepulchre. A car is sitting right there in the middle of the grounds after it hit several grave markers. Omaha police say the driver has been charged with a DUI. They say a blood alcohol level for him more than 2 times the legal limit.
You know what's really sad, Mike?
He got the kicker in his margarita, that's for sure.
Mike, what's really sad is after that accident, they've recovered 42 victims.
That's exciting. Very, very. And it looked Halloween-y, too.
I don't know why it's lit in purple. Is that like a bonus?
We've got tickets still available for Las Vegas. We have the limited edition coffee mugs that are still there. Go out and get them for Josh Sciroca and Rob Spiewak. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, folks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center. All powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.